Ray, thanks for the... That's really good that right there that you brought. Tom, thank you for good material in that bulletin. And T-Roy, he will be singing, and they both will, I think, next week. So they will... I have to quit using the term live music. You know, that sounds kind of odd, but we'll have live people bringing music. And then in September... As September rolls along, where there's some things coming up, and you're gonna hear some different speakers, and as we move through September, Clarence will be bringing. He has a message he's working on, and he's going to bring a message, and then the last Sunday of September, remember Daniel, Pastor Daniel from up, he's coming here to bring the message. And he will bring his own music, so we'll be, and he's going to bring the full meal deal, the full orchestra that day. So there'll be lots of things happening, and so we're swapping and doing and trading and doing cooperative things together. We work cooperatively there. I wish you could see the cooperative work that goes on with pastors. We help each other. Deal with counseling cases that are stretchy, extreme, and sometimes just downright weird. And we all work together, and I just wish you could see it and say, you know, and the reason I'm saying it was we don't get that around here. There's so much jealousy. There's so much people touchy. Pastor is so touchy. Going to take one of our people. Well, if you can lose them that easy, maybe you mean to do something different. You know the way I feel, but that's me. So, but up there, we help each other out. And so, you know, he's asked me some time ago, he said, I want to preach for you. And we looked at it and said, you know what? I'll tell you what. And he said, you're going to be doing some things and got things going on. How about this last Sunday month? And I'll do the music. I'll do everything. I said, great. And then Sunday before, and so anyway, we'll be letting you know. So we're just going to make variety, and you need the change. We need things different. I've been thinking, I don't want everybody getting bored and doing things the same way up here, so we're going to switch things around and have guest speakers do this and that. Besides, there's a place, and I mentioned to you a few weeks ago, where and I mentioned to you that I'm very tired, and after these procedures and stuff, I'm more tired, and I'm doing good this morning, but sometimes on my way home, it's really tough to get home. I just suddenly just kind of, and especially now, just having anesthesia and all this on Friday, it whacked me a little bit. Right now, I'm feeling good. I wanted to dress up this morning. I even had these tactical pants I was going to wear, and a pair, and I almost did it. See, that's the effects of all the dope they put in me. And I have these pair of really neat blue Hoka shoes, you know, the Hoka pad. I was going to wear my Hokas. I was, with white socks and my black silky pants and this white shirt. And yeah, and I thought, man, you're going to... And then I got thinking about it. I thought, that's overdoing it. Settled down a tad, and I'm back off the Hokas. But I have this pretty blue pair of Hokas. By the way, I wore them to the clinic, to the surgery thing on Friday. And the first thing the doctor, Dr. Wolf, he looked at him, he said, "So now you're wearing nursing shoes too, are you?" They're the prettiest blue, though. Yeah. But anyway, so I was flitting down the hallways there, saying, Yeah, I'm styling. So, I don't know. I don't know what's getting into me, but, you know. Pardon? They're cool, but not pretty? Don't say pretty. Oh, really? You don't want to think of me as being anything pretty. Okay. They were just cool, man. Those are cool, yeah. Yeah, those are cool. All right, here we go. And then when he said nursing shoes, you know, it kind of like, oh, maybe they are pretty, but no, they're cool. I'll tell you one thing. I'm not a representative of Hoka, but I really like those shoes. And the soles are about, 2 inches or more thick. And you just felt like you're floating. If you have any knee problems or anything, there's different grades of them. That one, that pair I have, I mean, really, seriously, it just floats you and it helps you take the next step. It sort of bounces you into the next step. I'm just like, these are neat. Anyway, my first pair of Hokas. But these are manly Hokas, so don't worry about it. Thessalonians. I didn't know we were going to go into a little series, a mini series in Thessalonians. And each one is separate unto itself. And then this will wrap this up, at least in 1 Thessalonians. But it became very exciting and interesting to me, and the Lord just kept pushing, finish this. And I can't do too much at a time. I take it's enough time as it is to try to, because I teach things. And God's put in me the gift of exhorting and teaching. And so I exhort and I teach, though. And it's a desire in my heart for you to learn. And I want, and just that's what I do. And I counsel, of course. And I was sharing with some of the guys, and we were talking this past week. Said, Tony, God's given you a gift of healing through verbal communication, through being able to communicate with people. He's made you a healer. And I hadn't thought about it like that's that way, but it's like, yeah, he has. You say healing words to people. You're able to get into their heart and their mind and help them get to the root of their stuff. And God brings healing. And that's a great blessing. I hope you have. Whatever your gifts are, use them, friends. Whatever they are, don't minimize them. But today, we have this interesting little, just a twist. That, and I'll explain this to you in a moment, that you won't see anywhere else. It's not in any other epistles. So let's read this thing, if I can find where I'm at. And by the way, if there's a little pause, if I kind of have a little hitch, it's not my throat, it's the stuff they gave me. And they told me for a few days, you might have just a moment where you have to think about, normally I don't, it's just rolling. But if it happens, I hope it does it, but they warned me before I left the VA there, they said, what we had to give you for this in place for an anesthesiologist, they don't have one, so they had to give you some other thing. Said it can cause a little gap, and all of a sudden you'll be speaking, and you have to think a minute, what's next? And I don't want any more of that stuff, I can guarantee you. It's weird. I was talking to my sister on the phone, and she said, what's wrong with you? You're just stopping and missing. I said, I'm having to think. And then I explained to her, I hope I'm better today. And if I seem like I'm not, then you'll know. It's not the communion wine. I didn't touch it this morning, so we're okay. Chapter 5, starting with verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Nothing wrong with that verse. We hear those verses. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. That's our text. Why? Because nowhere else has God used Paul to take theology and then suddenly bring psychology right up, just thrusting right up in the middle of the theology. Only here. Now the Bible talks about your soul and your spirit, but body, soul, and spirit in one text. He didn't use it to any of the other epistles. Check me out on it. You'll find out. He didn't use that anywhere else. And suddenly we have a psychological, this is psychology here. This is counseling stuff. This is when you're dealing with, you know, when spirit, that's of God, and the soul, though, the center of human emotions, our thoughts, our feelings, our desires, and we'll get into this in a moment, and then our body. How can the body be preserved blameless when it's so sinful? And all of a sudden, he's saying, may God do this. And that's what you have to do, the whole threefold, when you're working with people and you're helping them with their problems. You got to remember that they're made up of three specific parts that make a whole. And we've never talked about this before in here. And we're going to hit it today, and I don't want to lose you. So stay with me, and don't be distracted, because this is fantastic. And it's like suddenly Paul, the great theologian, becomes a psychologist in the midst of all the theology. And starts, and it's like a doctor of, you know, an osteopathy, where they deal with the whole person. MDs don't necessarily, they deal with the medical part, physiological, but the DOs deal with more of the whole complete person. And this is like that. And suddenly you're into, wow. And I've researched it and looked and checked and that. So I thought, I've never brought a message on it like this because I didn't quite see the interconnection. So here it is. And so he says this, and first of all, he's talking about the God of peace, you know. So may God sanctify you completely. The title of this is just God keep you completely. And we start with God sanctify you completely. That word sanctify used in this context and pretty much in line with everywhere else it's used literally means set you apart to himself. So that's what the word sanctify means. And it says, may the God of peace, by the way, and that's where the only place your peace is going to come from, with him setting you aside to himself and you agreeing to it and allowing it to happen and not fighting against him. It says, may the God of peace set you apart to himself. Now that's the first step on wellness. That's the first step in healing with any condition you may have, whether it's in your heart, your spirit, or your soul, or your body, is first of all to realize that God is saying to you in this prayer, I want you set apart to me and to me alone. You belong only to God and no one else, nothing else. Does everyone hear this? We get this so confused. We get conflicted over it. We get tangled up in our mind. God, listen, God, this is important to know. God permits you to commit yourself to another person. He permits it. But it's not sanctification, and you're not sanctified unto them. That's permission of God to be married. That's why you want to be sure and pray and ask God, is this the one? Is this your will? Is this what you want? And if it is, then quit hesitating and do it. And if it's not, then find out why and what God wants you to do. But when we say, I'm going to take my marriage vows and I'm going to be committed to this person, you need to understand it. No matter how long you've been married, I was given that by permission, but I am not sanctified into that person. I'm not set apart to them. I'm committed to them by permission of God, but I belong to him. It's when we get that out of whack that certain things start happening, going wrong in a marriage relationship. Because I'm got it messed up in my mind and in my heart and my soul about, you know, the sanctification process. And if I'm not right with God, then I'm not going to stay right with you very long. Troubles in marriage can often come back, be related back to this as the root problem. People say, you know, and people bring folks to me, and pastors do that, and so when they say, let's sit down together, and will you help me with this person, and we start working, and we find out there's a break somewhere here in this sanctification process. The person is resisting or not fully understanding or breaking. Well, we'll get into it in the spirit, soul, and body in a moment. So you get theology here, and you get Paul's counseling course all in one shot. And it's very interesting. And so as God gives you permission to commit yourself in marriage to your children or in a friendship. Jonathan and David were committed in a friendship, but never, never before God. God came first. And God must be first here. No matter how much you feel you're in love, or you care about someone, or your husband, your wife, your kids, whatever it is, grandkids. Man, we parents that were kind of lackadaisical with kids go nuts over grandkids. I know I'm not speaking to anyone here, am I? My sister was one of the first, hope she's going to listen to this. She always told me, said, I don't care. I see all these grandparents just going crazy over their grandkids doing all this stuff. I'm going to keep, they just go like they're insane. And I'm going to keep my sanity. This is never going to happen to me. She is crazy over her grandkids. What a change when that first little grandbaby came along. It's like, I don't know this woman. This is my sister. I've known all my life, and she's totally changed. If it was me or the grandbaby, I'm dead. That's it. Brother's gone. Doesn't count. Listen to me. You can be committed in a friendship as a citizen. I took an oath as a soldier. You take an oath. You know, I will defend my country and obey the orders of those above me and so forth and so forth, and defend against all enemies, foreign and domestic. But that doesn't come before God. Country, flag, nothing. I'm sanctified only to the Lord. It's the only sanctifying there is. The rest is a commitment. And by the way, all these commitments that I break, that I have on this earth, can be broken. And listen to this. Every commitment, every oath you've taken, will one day be broken. You will go to heaven, and you can no longer keep it on this earth. If you keep that oath you've made in marriage, you keep that commitment or that you've made to your country, I still to this day feel very much that oath. By the way, when I was discharged from the army, I was not discharged from my oath. You have an honorable discharge from the service, but they never discharged you from your oath. And we've never thought about it, but you think about it. And all the classification, we have secret, top secret classification, and clearances, you weren't released from those either. That's why you'll find old soldiers and you'll say, that stuff's bound to be not, you know, we were not released from that. We were never given permission to share it. We weren't released. All we were just discharged from active duty. And so we keep the oath. But that oath will end. It's finite. It's temporary. But sanctification takes me straight into heaven, and it's for eternity. And that's why you must understand there is no commitment on this earth that can supersede being sanctified. And you give it thought, because this is the basis for where we're going, where God has taken this in this passage in Thessalonians. You know, and things will happen. Sanctification set apart to God is greater than everything else. It means that no matter what, no matter what, no matter what we feel or what we want, no matter what oaths we've taken or commitments we've made, God comes first. His will is supreme. I'm set apart to Him. So now let's look at the second part. First, God, you know, sanctify you completely, and then God keep your spirit, soul, and body completely. And that, and what He says is blameless. And I had to have a hard run at this with the Lord about my body being blameless, because it says, you know, our body is sinful, so sinful, and it has to die because of sin. And yet He's talking about keeping it blameless. So let's look at this for a moment. Let's look at the spirit, because He says God, and if you get this, this will help you understand yourself and a lot of other people and why they do what they do, where we blow it so many times. It says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved, what? Blameless, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. This is like a seminary class 400 level. And so, you know, hang on to this today, and I don't do this very often, but this is what's next, and it's necessary to understand. So grab this. First of all, He says, God, you know, keep, may your whole spirit, and let's look at spirit, soul, and body, and we'll take them in this order that He gave them. First, your spirit. The spirit comes from a Greek word, and that word is called pneuma. It's pronounced pneuma. And that's a Greek word for spirit. And it's what enables you to perceive God and understand His word and fulfill His will. You cannot perceive God without spirit. So when God gives you the Holy Spirit, your understanding is open now to His word. You may not know it, but when the Holy Spirit, He's in you, and you ask Jesus in your heart, He gives you His Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit now, He comforts you, He encourages you, but He also does what? He teaches you God's word and will. He opens you to know God. And that's why the scripture says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Because the minute you do, through unconfessed sin, or continual sin patterns, or you get hooked on something that's distracting you and you can't fully focus on God, there's a break in this whole wholeness, this entire wholeness with God. And just think about it. If there's a break in my spirit, if I grieve Him, then none of the rest of this is going to happen. And if there's anything in your heart, anything in your life that you've not confessed, that you're just struggling with, or you're guilty, you feel guilty over, you feel oppressed, it just keeps coming. You got to deal with it. Just let God get in the wound and get it out. Okay? That's, you know, it's starting to get infected. And let him get in there and do spiritual surgery and cleanse you once and for all. Now listen to me. Listen to what God is saying. Your spirit must be intact. You can't be grieved. Because it's your communication source with God. It's how you know what God wants. It's how you, just like this. I can't understand the application of this scripture if I'm grieving the Holy Spirit. My heart has to be cleansed. It has to be confessed. I can't be perfect, but I can be confessed. And I can be repentant so that God, we're in fellowship. And God, as old, Paul Hogan said in Crocodile Dundee, me and God, we be mates. And you want to be mates with the Lord. So that the rest of this flows then. And so the Spirit, pneuma, that's what keeps me in touch with God. It's how I pray to God. It's how I know and convinced in my heart my salvation is secure, because it says I'm sealed in the Holy Spirit. And it's how I know He's listening, and I see when He answers. Listen to me. Listen. Many times you're disappointed in life because you don't see answered prayers, because you're not seeing it through the Spirit. Many times God's answering your prayers, but you have to have the awakening, the fullness of the Holy Spirit to see His answers. You can't see them always in the flesh with your physical eyes and hear them with your physical ears. But if in the Spirit, you can say, I see the spiritual answer to this, the application of it, and it's nowhere near what I thought it would be, but it's the answer. You see how much hinges on the Spirit part of us. But then we move to through the Spirit we know and communicate, and He's our, listen, the Spirit is our God consciousness. I made a special note to bring this out. He is our God awareness, God consciousness. Now, He says, I want that Spirit kept blameless. Whatever it takes in the Spirit, you keep right with God. You keep the Spirit from being grieved at any time. That means don't go to bed mad. You want to go to bed glad. And if you're going to bed mad, then deal with it. If you have to stay up all night, deal with it. I keep emphasizing this point because God emphasized it to me. Look, if you've got a problem with someone, you go to them and you do your part. They don't have to listen. They don't have to do anything, but you do. You have to go to them and say, I am sorry this happened. Ask your forgiveness, even if they're the one that started it. And I'm doing what the Scripture tells me, and I really want this on my part. And so I'm asking you to let it go and forgive me. And they may say, get out of here. I'll never forgive you. You can walk away with a clean heart, pure conscience. You did your part. It's not dependent on what the other person does. But do your part. Now, I hope this never happens, but if you ever get off-center with me, if you ever have an issue with me, then sit down with me. And you can tell me. And if I blew it, I'll do my best to be honest and square and not defend myself. There's nothing worse than your pride getting in the way of something like that and you start defending yourself. How goofy. You want to be reconciled, be reconciled. So, but if there's an issue, you do your part. You cleanse your heart. You don't accuse the person. You just say, look, I'm sorry it happened. I'm really sorry. I wish it hadn't been dead. I ask your forgiveness. And you may be saying that knowing that you didn't start that issue, but you've done your part. Walk away. You're not, now the Spirit is full and complete. You communicate with God. But then next comes the soul. And here's the psychology part tied into this. Because this is what, when I'm not here or after church and someone talks to me, I'm having to deal with the Spirit and the soul. And wow, what a conflict that can be for people, because people confuse the soul with the Spirit. Now listen to this. The word soul comes from psyche. That's the Greek word, and it's used psyche. And you hear that. Oh, and you know, their psyche. Yeah, well, that's their soul. And the soul is where you have your wants, your emotions, is the center of your personality. Your personality flows from your soul. It's the man woman part of you. The spirit has enlivened that and enlivened your soul, and you become a spirit being. But in the soul is who I really am. It's the man with his gifts and his wants and his desires and his hopes and his dreams and his disappointments and his hurts and everything else is there residing in the soul of a human being. It gives me a self-consciousness that enables me to relate to the physical world through my body and my spirit. Do you see this? It's in the soul that you feel. It's in the soul that you are who you are. It's in the soul that your personality emanates from. You can't deny who you are, but many people do. And they become actors and actresses on the stage of life because the spirit is jammed up. But see, it's the spirit that causes me to have integrity in my soul. It's the spirit that will tell me when I'm lying to myself, when I'm lying to you, when I'm not being straight with God. And that's what we call conviction. And the Holy Spirit will convict me. And then I'm looking at myself saying, Tony, you're not being true to God and to yourself, to who you really are. You're pretending. You're play acting. You're being somebody that you're not really. Be who you are. Who God made you to be. And when I'm dealing with people and they're saying I'm depressed, I'm conflicted, I'm angry all the time. The first, you know, you can deal with symptoms and all, by the way, all medications deal with symptoms. God deals with the problem. And so if you're really going to help somebody and you want to really work with them, and you want to get, you know, really help this person. They said, I'm depressed and I'm upset. Now, there are physiological things, and we're going to talk about that when we get to the body, that can happen to you. And so don't hear me saying that everything you have is just, but most of what we experience as people and their difficulties are coming from a break in relationship with God, a fellowship with God in the spirit. And in my soul, I'm in denial. And I'm living a life that is not really me. I'm doing it to please people. I'm doing it because something happened as a child or whatever it was. And I found that if I play acted this role, everybody would leave me alone. If I did what everybody wanted, became a people pleaser or whatever it is. And my soul is in conflict because I'm not real. And the Holy Spirit's convicting me. And I'm resisting that because I don't know any other lifestyle. And by the way, for all of you who grew up in an abusive home, your spirit not only is hurt, but your soul is damaged in that you don't know anything but abuse. And so you are like a magnet attracted to abusive people. That's why people will go into one marriage after another, one relationship, friendship after another with the wrong people, because their soul is hurt. And the Holy Spirit is working to correct that soulness. So that you can be real, and it must all evolve together around God, with God. And so you dig into somebody's life and you say, why are you depressed all the time? I don't know. Well, you know, sure, you want to see if it's physiological. Is it serotonin mess up? Is there a dopamine problem? You know, but most often as we get into it, they're saying, and then suddenly they say, I was abused as a child. Oh. Or I was abandoned. We grew up real poor, and I'm scared to death of ever being poor again and all these things. And then all of a sudden, you begin to find that, oh. So the root of your oppression, depression, your anxiety, or your anger, your temper, is coming from the fact of an unresolved issue down here. You've got a broken soul. We call it a broken heart. And your soul is hurt. You're wounded in the soul, and the Holy Spirit is working on you, see, to correct that, because He's a healer. He wants you always right with God, but you're resisting because you don't know any other life. You don't know anything but abuse. You don't know anything but depression. You don't know anything but the medicine you're taking all the time. And the Holy Spirit is in competition with all the things that you're doing, or the drinking, or the drugs, or whatever it is. or the sex, or the pornography. You know, you're feeding this stuff, or the food. I'm trying not to look at anybody when I say food. But you're using this as a substitute for wellness, for a whole, complete soul. Now, what is it in you today that the Holy Spirit right now is revealing to you? You don't have to say out loud to me, but to yourself before God. What is it that you're not letting go of? What are you substituting all this stuff for? What is it that's hurting in your soul? What's keeping you from being the real you? From being having emotions and feelings? From being able to say, you know, I have hopes and dreams and desires that I've never revealed to anybody. Why? Why? Are you afraid of commitment? Because you've been hurt in your life and people that said they were committed to you abandoned you and left you and broke your heart, your soul. And he's saying, may all this be preserved blameless. And for God to heal you and to help you, you've got to let him, through his Spirit, look into your soul and say, why are you behind those prison bars of your own making? Why do you keep torturing and punishing yourself? I've opened the door. You've been looking at those bars so long you can't even see an open door in front of you. God says, what? He is faithful, and no temptation, trial, testing has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful and will, with that temptation, trial, testing, what? Provide a way of escape that you can endure it. And he's opened the door of your own self-made prison, and you don't even see it open. And his word to you today is, I want you to be a whole, complete person. Step through the door of freedom in the Holy Spirit. Let me forgive. Let me heal. Let me cleanse. Let me deliver you, because I love you. I'll do anything it takes to free your soul so you can be a real, live, breathing human being, filled with the Spirit and full of passion, compassion, able to throw your arms around another person and not be intimidated, and they can hug you and they can love you. I knew this would happen. I'd want to spend a lot of time on this broken soul business, and I can't. But if you ever come and sit down with me, you're going to get a lot of this. Because I'm going to dig into that soul and see where is the disruption that's causing all of this surface stuff. Because that's where most of our symptoms come from. So now you see. So I've got to be right with God in the Spirit. And then I've got to get straightened out in my soul, my psyche. I've got to be who I'm supposed to be. I want to be able to relate to this physical world, see, in my soul, empowered by the Holy Spirit. What a powerful human being you are when you do that. You walk into a room and everybody just kind of looks and notices there's a real Spirit-filled God person in here. Now, okay, now, it's as much as I can give you. There's about 37 more chapters on soul, but of my own writing, but that's what I can give. Now, let's look at the body. You're saying, how does this tie into the body? It's this. If I'm sick in my soul, I will be sick in my body. Many of your physical symptoms. Now, sure, you can have a thyroid problem, you know, physiological things. Like I said earlier, you can have you don't produce serotonin, dopamine. You don't get the runner's high when you walk or work out or do anything. And okay. But by and large, outside of some, there's exceptional things that happen to people. If you've had to have some things removed, and all we understand. I mean, that's okay. That's some hurt in the body. But many of the things that people suffer physically, they never realize it goes back to the Spirit, being right with God. And then in my soul, what's broken? What's wounded? What's bleeding? And it shows physically in my body. And we're so prone in the whole medical, not most of the medical profession is so prone to just look at a physical symptom and never go down in the soul and say, what the heck happened to you? You come in here nervous and down and depressed and you're wanting medication for it. I can do that. I just wish sometimes that they would sit there and say, I can do that. But let's talk a minute. How long have you had this? When did it start? Have you always been this way? Well, come on now. When did this start in your life? It's when my uncle backed over my favorite cousin and killed him in the driveway back when I was a kid or whatever. I've heard these stories. And, oh, and you saw it? Yeah, I did. And I have nightmares. Oh, you think maybe we got a reason why you're depressed physically? Instead of treating that symptom, you think maybe we can go down here and let God heal you from a tragedy, a traumatic experience in your life? And then suddenly the depression is minimized or gone. The headaches are not there from the stress. And often, this is a very common. Someone, and as we dig down, they say, I hurt somebody real bad, okay? Who? My friend, my brother, my sister, my husband, my wife. I had an affair. I did this. Sometimes, it's just, you know, when I hear this, I killed somebody. And my first thought is, I don't jump on that real quick, because here's why. So you were in Iraq, you were in Afghanistan, you were in Vietnam. Yeah, that's where you killed somebody? Yeah. Let's talk. And we begin to move from there, and we want to get that spirit and soul healing. And guess what? Their nightmares are starting to diminish. Their headaches, migraines, so many things are going away now because what was broken in the soul, not allowing the spirit to heal, is gone away and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. You can take this in people's lives and be the greatest minister, counselor people have ever seen around them. You can do it. If you keep this perspective, if you let this be a part and you study this more, because I can't give you a tenth of what you need here, but it gets you started. And so you look in there and say, my body's hurting because my soul is hurt. And my soul is hurting because I'm not right with God with this, and I know it, and I'm not wanting or willing to do what He wants me to do to get it right. Is this making sense out here? I'm dwelling on it longer than I wanted to, because God wants you to get this. You can be healed. You can walk out of here free today. You can be a whole person. You don't have to wrestle with all this junk anymore. We relate to God through the Spirit. But don't forget, while He wants my body blameless, my body's God's temple. And it all works together, and I don't want to damage the temple of God. And here's a good question, and I'll ask it myself for you. But isn't the body sinful above all things, and isn't it going to die? This body is going to be replaced with a new body, but I'm going to have a body. Jesus walked out of the tomb with His body still the wounds, but He wasn't bleeding. He had a new body. But they recognized Him then, once He revealed Himself, and He had this. So this body, yeah, it's going to get repaired. I'm sure glad about that. Yeah. That didn't it bring a joy? It's going to be it's new, and it's going to be repaired. But I'm going to have a body. And that body will be what? Blameless. And there it is. There it is. Your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless, and that's exactly the way it'll be. And you can have it be well on the way right now if you'll pay attention to this and start doing right now what God's telling you to do. And relate to God in the Spirit. We're real life human beings in the soul. That's where my personality is. My temperament. Everything. And my body contains it. It's a temple of God. And all three of these work together to what? To make me a complete, total person. Last note or two. Be careful about declaring somebody your soulmate, because that belongs only to God. Well, I have a whole nother page and I'm not going to do it to you. So, I just give you this. God who calls you is faithful. And he will also will do it. That's the last part of this verse. What is he saying? I want your spirit and your soul and your body blameless. And he said, don't despair, because God is faithful and he'll do it. He's waiting for you to say, yes, do it. And I'll do whatever you tell me to do for you to make me whole and complete and blameless. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your people here to hear it. Now let us receive it in its fullness. Receive you in our fullness. Bless us this day, Father, with a complete renewed power in our lives of blameless spirit, blameless soul, blameless body. Let's walk out of here knowing that Jesus has come to give us the truth, and the truth will set us free. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.